from WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're about to challenge your assumptions about consumption and drop a sporkful of knowledge on you. Because we're obsessively compulsive about eating more awesomely, and because if history has taught us anything, it's that the hosts of food shows need a lot of catchphrases. Now let's go ahead and jump into today's topic for mastication and rumination, which is... falafel.
Yeah!
And joining me for this show today is my friend and a fellow internet food traveler, Katie Quinn of Now This News. Hey, Katie.
I like that description, Dan. Yeah. That was spot on.
You need new business cards now. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I'll work on that.
So you do a lot of awesome coverage for Now This News, some of it relating to food, some of it relating to all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I do as much food as I possibly can.
Right.
Those are the fun ones.
And you were at Serious Eats previously. You've done a lot of other food stuff. All right, so getting into falafel, we're going to divide this conversation into roughly three parts. The falafel itself, how best to eat it, and falafel accompaniments. So let's start with the falafel itself. What makes for great falafel?
I think that temperature, texture, moisture are probably my biggest things. So by temperature, I mean, I want it fresh out of the fryer. And then texture, crispy on the outside. And my biggest pet peeve in the falafel world is a dry falafel.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think that the dryness and the density tend to go hand in hand.
Right, but you don't want it at the same time so fluffy that you're like, oh, what's it in my... Like, it has to have a certain weight to it, too.
Yeah, I think the term you're looking for is tooth sinkability.
Tooth sinkability.
That's what you want.
That's what I'm all about. Yeah.
What size falafel balls is best? Let's talk diameter.
All right. I like just slightly bigger than a walnut shell sized. I think totally tops golf ball sized, but I don't want it so big that it's like there are only two falafel balls can fit in the pita without a crazy problem happening.
That's a little, I was with you more on the golf ball.
Really?
I think golf ball is where you want to be. Yeah, again, it gets to tooth sinkability.
Right.
I mean, these aren't M&Ms here, right. Katie, all right?
I mean, there is another issue at play, which is... how much of it, how the crispiness of the fried outer part.
Right. Well, we're talking surface area to volume ratio
exactly.
Now. And you're saying that if you have a high surface area to volume ratio, it increases fried.
Right.
I think that's true in theory. But I think in practice, that becomes less important because for whatever reason, I just feel like it's very rare that I get falafel that is all that crispy. I mean, the first bite or two, it may be crispy. But all the stuff that comes with falafel, you get the lettuce and the tomato and the cucumber.
That's where the crunch is.
It's inside a pita and it's inside. Well, that's where the crunch is, kind of. But also, those cold and wet things, or sometimes warm and wet, if you're like putting it on top of rice on a platter, all of those things eat away at the crisp of the falafel proper. And so I just feel like you get a couple bites into a falafel and it's not going to be crispy anymore anyway.
I see your point. So now I'm second guessing the reason that I like these smaller ones, and maybe it has more to do with the economy of it. I feel like, oh man, I'm getting five falafels. Yeah.
Right.
Five falafel balls in this pita.
Right. Whereas you're like, only three? That
yeah,
sucks.
Exactly. I'm getting ripped off. I want my falafel balls.
But actually now I'm coming around to your side, because one of the advantages of smaller falafel balls outside of surface area to volume ratio and how much fried you're going to get is that I think it's problematic, and we'll get more into this when we talk sandwichization of the falafel, is that if you have only three big falafel balls in a pita, you're not going to get anywhere close to bite consistency. You're going to get a lot of bites with no falafel in them.
So true.
Let's talk the seasoning of the falafel ball. Now, some of this gets into sort of personal preference. We don't need to go down a whole rabbit hole with that, but what are some of the flavor points you're looking for in a falafel? How do you feel about unorthodox approaches to seasoning the falafel ball? What do you think on that?
Well, first of all, I don't think anything can really beat the classic. I think that's the tops. However, I'm not a purist when it comes to falafels. There's a great spot. One of my favorites in New York is called Taim, and they do three different varieties. They do of course, the original classic. They also have a harissa ball that's a little spicy, and then they also have a roasted red pepper. And I like to mix it up, and sometimes I'll go and get all three.
One order with one with all three balls mixed in together?
I have done that before.
What order would you want to eat those three balls in?
You know, it's the roll of the die.
Really?
Yeah.
Leave it to chance, eh?
That's how I've consumed the mixture before, yes.
Not the next time, though.
I know.
See, I would want to go original harissa red pepper.
Why?
Because you got to think about what's this going to be the state of your palate when you're finished eating it. So the original is like you're starting off at par. You want to taste that one unadulterated. The spicy one is going to leave a spicy residue in your mouth. And so if you were to eat the original after the spicy, then the original is going to taste bland. So you want to build to the spicy. Roasted red pepper, I actually don't like roasted red pepper in almost anything. I like it alone, but I feel like people underestimate how dominant of a flavor it is. If you put roasted red pepper first or second, that's going to have a real domino effect in your falafel order. So that's why I would finish with that one. Because a little bit of a residual spice from the harissa rolling into the roasted red pepper, I think would be... Could be a good thing.
Yeah, I think you've got a good game plan there. I think that's a really good strategy.
All right, Katie, let's move on to falafel consumption. Now, a big issue here is just a classic Sporkful issue. We revisit it again and again, and it never fades in relevance. And that is the debate between bite variety and bite consistency. When you're consuming falafel, do you want bite variety or bite consistency, and why?
I think that we're all striving to make the perfect bite of everything involved in one bite, right?
In general or with falafel? Like in life or both?
Both.
Okay, all right.
But with falafel particularly. So I think that the goal in a perfect world would be consistency, but I don't think it's possible in a falafel sandwich.
Okay, so let's go get more into the falafel sandwich. Now, I agree that perfect bite consistency is difficult to attain, but I also agree with you that we're striving for it in the falafel sandwich. Let's talk about some ways that we could move society closer to true falafel sandwich bite consistency. Now, in Israel and elsewhere in the Middle East, they have a thing called laffa bread, which I'm sure you can get in places around the U.S., but it's much less common. It's sort of like a cross between a flour tortilla, like a burrito wrapping, and a pita. It's like a more bready version of a burrito wrapping, and it's much bigger, and it's much sturdier than a pita. That, I think, is your ideal, because it's sturdy, you wrap it in paper, so you don't need an end cap to catch things. It's also wrapped in foil, it can hold a lot. It's got a lot going for it. Pita sandwich, I got a big problem with anything, any kind of sandwich on a pita. It is not designed for sandwichization. I feel like whoever made the pita to have a hole in them did the world a great disservice.
I agree.
Because nothing good comes from the fact that you can separate it other than that it fooled some people into thinking that it could be sandwichized.
Right. I mean, what happens is it's not a sandwich. It creates this like bulbous thing. And then how are you going to eat a circle? Because that's essentially what you're trying to do with a lot of falafel sandwiches. I'll use sandwiches in quote because this right. is not a horizontal experience.
Well, and that's a great segue, horizontal. So this is one of the biggest problems with any kind of pita sandwich is that so you hold it, you're holding it vertically. You slice it at the top. You're not filling it from the bottom to the top, holding it vertically. Now, when you go to eat it as a sandwich, you're going to turn it on its side. And now all the falafel's in one side of the sandwich and all the greens are in the other side
and
of the sandwich.
And probably when you turn it on its side, half of the stuff on the top spilled out anyway.
Right. That's right. So you get the exact opposite of bite consistency to start with. On top of that, they're just flimsy constructions, right? I mean, they fall apart. It's very hard to even eat a pita sandwich without it breaking apart in your hands.
I mean, I would go, listen, I'm about to make a pretty intense statement here.
I'm ready.
Because I love pita. And when I get a falafel platter, you better believe I eat that whole pita as a part of the falafel platter experience. But I would go so far as to say that I would prefer eating a falafel sandwich on like a tortilla. So I'm taking your laffa statement one step further for just the overall enjoyment of the experience of eating it. I would do a burrito falafel style.
A falafel burrito. I think that's a great point. I agree with you 100%. You know, some people out there, I'm sure, are thinking, well, why don't you, what if you were to chop up the falafel balls and the greens and the Israeli salad and the tahini and mix them all up and then drop that into the pita, and then you could get by consistency. And that's true. That would be an improvement on the status quo. But it still doesn't deal with the fact that a pita is just flimsy.
Right. I'm also not a fan of pre-mixing things up and putting them in. Like, for instance, let's make this metaphor about ice cream. Cold Stone, I don't want you to mix all the stuff in and have you do the work for me, basically. I like a little bit of the challenge. I really do. I like, you know, I want my toppings on top of my ice cream. I want all of the, I want to be able to see all the different parts in my falafel, and I want to strive for the perfect bite.
Well, so you like to work for it.
I like to work.
You like bite consistency, but you don't want it handed to you on a platter.
Right, because how much better does it feel when you get the perfect bite? You earned that perfect bite.
Of course, there's sort of a giant falafel ball in the room here that we haven't gotten to yet, Katie, which is, what if ball is not the best shape for falafel? What if part of the reason why they're hard to sandwichize and why we're dealing with some of these issues is that they should be a whole different shape entirely? What do you think?
I think I'm open to that idea. I think that I read once that there are such things as donut-shaped falafel balls. I don't know if you can call them balls anymore if they're donut-shaped. But I heard that and I was like, I want to try that. So you're talking about different shapes for better sandwichization. I'm talking about different shapes for a different eating experience in terms of the crunch. How much more of that crispiness will you get with the donut shape?
More surface area.
So much.
So you're sort of talking about a shape almost like those the mini Entenmann's donuts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. Exactly. Exactly. And then, too, some of the other parts of the Israeli salad can get like stuck in that little hole. I'm just seeing this donut-shaped falafel like collecting the goods around it and like holding them in its power.
Why not just make a spoon? Why not just shape falafel like a spoon?
I think that you just have a really genius idea.
I mean, it's totally malleable. It can be any shape you want. It could be dinosaurs. It could be alphabet. It could be the spoon itself. And then you just eat your Israeli salad with a falafel spoon. And so just yesterday, I knew I was coming to talk to you about falafel. I went out for lunch to get some falafel. I'd have falafel on the brain.
Nice.
And before it came, I was just jotting down some ideas and thoughts. And this is one of the things I jotted down. Why is it shaped like a ball? Would it be better? And I was thinking about sandwichization. I was thinking, why don't they just make it into a patty? And then at this place where I was getting the falafel, out comes my falafel sandwich, and it was a patty.
What?
Yes. They did it there. So I need to give a shout out to Mediterranean Snack Bar of Huntington, New York, for serving their falafel sandwich in patty shape.
Now, had you ever had a patty-shaped falafel before?
I can't. It was one of those things, you know. But something like that happens to you, like when you have an idea and then it comes into reality that quickly, you think like maybe it happened before. You get into this like Nietzschean loop, like the doctrine of eternal recurrence, and like maybe everything that can happen in the future has already happened in the past, and that's how I knew that this was about to happen kind of situation. So I don't know. I'm not sure, but I don't think I've ever seen it before.
I don't think I've ever had a patty. Now, what kind of a patty are we talking about? Like hamburger? Not that big.
I have a picture.
I'll see it.
I'll post this picture to sporkful.com so everyone can go ahead and check it out. Katie, I've got it on my phone. Let me show it to you right now. There you go.
Oh my gosh. That looks like a veggie burger.
Right.
It's just the size to fit inside the pita. Wow. You know what? I don't know how I feel about that, and I don't know why. Because I'm sure it's a better eating experience, but I look at that and I don't think falafel. I don't know. What was your experience?
On a structural level, it was definitely superior.
Absolutely.
I picked this thing up. I layered it. Because it's all one big piece, I took the whole thing out. Because when I'm dealing with falafel balls, what I will often do to get closer to the bite consistency ideal is to cut them in half.
It's a great idea.
And so I will empty the entire pita, spread the tahini on the top and the bottom, then lay down the half balls, the half spheres, and when you cut them in half, you can usually get equal coverage throughout.
Right. what I do is I kind of like compact them with my hands as I'm eating. So I kind of smush the falafel balls at the bottom
there. To spread them out more.
To spread them out a little more, break them up a little bit. Maybe my version of cutting them in half is just kind of smushing them so that they spread out a little bit.
I think that's a good technique. I've done the same thing as well when I was either too lazy or if it was too messy to go with a more precise cutting.
Right.
In this case, I didn't have to because I had the patty. I put the patty in, and then I put the lettuce and the tomato and cucumbers on top, and I ate it like a sandwich, and it mostly hung together. So on a structural level, it was light years ahead of the typical falafel sandwich. I think this falafel in particular just happened to be a little bit dry and dense. Not terrible, but this is the concern we expressed earlier. It's not ideal. And so that affected the eating experience, but just putting aside taste, huge improvement, huge advance for the Eatscape.
Yeah, I'm really curious to try that now.
I should have gotten one and brought it to you.
You should have.
That was stupid. You were saying that you feel a little bit iffy about the falafel patty that I just showed you, but you weren't sure why. Can you go into that a little more? Let's delve into that.
I feel like I need a couch to lie down on to talk about this because I'm not sure why my initial gut reaction to that is no. I just looked at that picture, like, right. No, not into that. My brain is not connecting the things. I want to see a falafel and eat a falafel. I want it to look like a falafel.
Right. I can't say for sure, Katie, whether the issue here is that, because it may just be that you're a little scared. You're a little scared of something of this magnitude.
Trying something so new.
Mm.
I think you might have a point.
It could be. But then again, you know, this could be sort of a deeply ingrained evolutionary bias against strange and new things. Or it could be that maybe this does cross some sort of a line, and maybe this is not falafel. Maybe it's a veggie burger. Let's segue then into ingredients and accompaniments. What do you think about the idea, instead of the chopped salad components? Because I think that's problematic too. Like chopped, diced vegetables, they don't stay. They don't stay put. Yes, I mean, this, I guess, is the one good thing of a pita pocket is that it's a pocket, so they can't escape so easily. But if you're going to really sandwichize falafel more properly, why not use sliced tomato and sliced cucumber? Of course, you can't have the two against each other because of the sliced cucumber conundrum, which we've discussed here in the past, but you could put lettuce in between the two to create friction. What do you think of that idea?
I think that structurally, I'm with you. I think it's a great idea. You know what I would really miss is that typically an Israeli salad is not just tomato and cucumber. Usually there's some parsley up in there. There's some lemon juice. There's some olive oil, maybe some red onions. So when you move away from the Israeli salad to avoid the chopped bits, you lose a lot. And I don't know that that's a trade-off I'm willing to make.
That's fair, Katie. I will grant you that. That is a fair point. You could try to replicate the Israeli salad with sliced vegetables, but it would be hard and it might create new problems.
Right.
I'll grant you that. The temperature contrast, because I agree that you want the falafel to be hot, but oftentimes all these veggies are being kept cold and you put them together. And to me, it's too stark of a contrast. It's problematic. What do you think?
I'm 100% with you on this. I think that it is not as enjoyable of an experience if you've got like some cold pickles with the warm falafel. I'm not into it.
Yeah, because it's not only going to chill the falafel, but it's going to make it release more it's going to create more condensation, which will reduce the crisp of the falafel even more rapidly. So that's another problem with that. There are a lot of other additions that people especially like. Let's get into some of these and then I kind of have a general point. I did throw this question out to all the eaters out there on Facebook and Twitter, and I got a lot of great responses. A guy named Laron Mink, one of our eaters on Facebook, he recommended adding in French fries to the falafel. What do you think about that?
You know, I had that in France. Yeah, it's like not really a thing that you ever see here in the States, but I went to France and it was an option. I was like, sure, why not? Yeah, it was fun. I liked it. Do I miss not having it as an option here? No, I don't know. Have you ever tried it?
Well, it's funny. So just yesterday when I was at my falafel luncheon, I had put this post up on Facebook. And so I'm checking the feedback I'm getting from Sporkful listeners while I'm ordering, and this post came up, and I had just ordered the falafel, and I like called the waiter back. I was like, let me get a small side of fries.
Nice.
And so I tried. It was very good, although as my wife, Mrs. Porkfoot, correctly pointed out, I mean, sticking French fries into almost any sandwich is going to be often a good thing, so I don't know that it's some kind of like magical combination. Eater Matt in Chicago says he likes it with tomato, jalapenos, and sour cream.
It's like a Mexican twist,
right,
on the falafel.
It's intriguing.
It is.
I'm just worried. This is another temperature thing. When I hear sour cream, I'm not a big sour cream guy anyway, but when I hear sour cream, I think this big glop of something cold on top of my hot, crispy falafel, and that concerns me.
You know what makes me think that I would like this? I've never tried sour cream on a falafel, but what makes me think that I would like it is that I have put labneh on, and
that's like tart yogurt.
Yeah, it's like kind of like Greek yogurt, but
unsweetened.
Yeah,
right.
But I really like that, so yeah, I could see sour cream really adding a nice, creamy variety.
A little tart in there, too.
Yeah, a little tart.
Eater Allison Eller says she likes pickles. You mentioned that. I think pickles could be really nice. But again, temperature concern we both expressed. I got an email from one guy who said, I have too much to say. I can't put this in a Facebook comment. His name is Daniel Pykus. He lives in Chicago now, but he spent 2 years in Israel eating falafel every week. He says he likes amba, which is a spicy fermented mango sauce, red shug, a spicy red chili pepper paste, French fries, sauerkraut, sauteed onions, and canned pickles. Now, this gets to my real concern when we're talking about all these different toppings. At a certain point, you're going to lose the falafel. And it's kind of, in a way, I think falafel is sort of like the Middle Eastern Chicago-style hot dog. Maybe it is just that it's more about throwing all this stuff in together, wrapping it up, and eating it. And I'm not saying it can't be delicious. But at a certain point, it kind of doesn't really matter what kind of falafel balls you're starting with.
Yeah, I agree. I think that putting that many accompaniments with it subjects it to being purely a conduit. And I don't think it deserves that. I think that it deserves a little bit more respect.
Right.
Because, then you could have all of the things we were talking about at the top that we don't like in a falafel, dry, whatever, all those things. At that point, it doesn't really matter, right? If you put all that other stuff with it, because you can't taste the subtleties.
Right. But is falafel, like falafel as a concept, is it just falafel balls? Or is falafel this conglomeration, this sloppy street food full of all these different things dumped in together? Is that what falafel is? I have not yet come to a clear decision on this question, but I am leaning towards the idea that the truth is that I don't know if I've ever had a bite of falafel, just the falafel ball with nothing else, that really blew me away, that I was like, wow, that was a delicious food. At a certain point, it's just kind of a fried bready ball. It's got some nice flavors going, but maybe it really is just a conduit. Maybe it is the bedrock component of a greater whole. I'm leaning in that direction, I have to say, Katie.
This is making me pause. This is me. Because I think, man, I really want to argue against that, but I can't say that I have ever had a bite of just falafel where I'm like, yeah, this is where it's at.
Right, right.
Like, it doesn't quite work like this. So maybe, yeah, a part of my enjoyment is the entire experience of the falafel with everything else.
This is a big deal, this conclusion we're moving towards here, Katie, because often on the Sporkful, I have expressed the concern that you're putting too much of this or that accompaniment on the thing, and it's getting in the way of appreciating the essential thing, and these are accompaniments and compliments, and they shouldn't overshadow the focus, the focal point of the dish. But there are dishes, like a Chicago-style hot dog, like it's a great thing, but is it a hot dog? Or is it a sandwich that includes a hot dog inside it?
Disguised as a hot dog.
Right, right. I think it's probably a sandwich of which one major ingredient is a hot dog. And I think that maybe falafel is a dish that combines all these different things, of which a fried chickpea ball is the foundation.
Right. It's the reason to then put all those other delicious things together.
That's right.
Yeah. I think we really struck on something.
Wow.
And I think I feel okay with that.
All right. I feel okay with it too. Well, Katie Quinn, this has been a real breakthrough. We've had a great time here today.
Dan, I'm going to go spread the word about falafel.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. Katie Quinn of Now This News. Follow her on Twitter at QKatie. That's the letter Q, K-A-T-I-E. Also, of course, check out Now This News for all of her excellent work and the excellent work of her compatriot, Wynn Rosenfeld, a frequent guest here on The Sporkful. You guys are doing a lot of cool stuff at Now This, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for the good falafel talk.
And a quick programming note, friends. Katie Quinn and I also did a video separate from this podcast where we taste tested gourmet sea salts. Not just any kind of sea salt, like smoked sea salt, black carbon infused sea salt, velvet plum Merlot sea salt. Is it worth it? Does it make any difference at all? Well, we got a video where Katie and I sought to figure that out. It's up on Now This News. It's on BuzzFeed. And I'll link to it at Sporkful.com. Or just make sure you're connecting with me on social media, on Twitter, at The Sporkful, on Facebook, Facebook.com/Sporkful, or again, good old-fashioned Sporkful.com. And hey, don't forget that I'm looking for callers for upcoming episodes of The Sporkful. If you have a rant, an innovation, a debate that needs settling, if you want to take issue with something I've said, drop me a line at Dan@Sporkful.com. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.